I mean, so many different coaching notes to hit here, and we do it with one of our favorite guests here every Tuesday at 5:20 of the MMQB. It's Albert Breer on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Albert, it's always Tuesdays with us. We did every Tuesday. We're getting some big breaking news, buddy.
I know. Well, at least it didn't happen at 5 o'clock this week, right? So, yeah, I mean, it was a little different. I mean, I think this is voluntary. Last week wasn't. I think it would be the biggest difference, but here we are again.
Who do you think inevitably is – let's go with the Tomlin thing first, because I was going to jump like three questions ahead. I guess, what is your reaction to Mike Tomlin stepping away in Pittsburgh?
You know, I think it was just time. I know that sounds like, you know, easy answer, but I think you look at their roster and where they are, and they were stuck in this rut, and this is the year they were going to try to get out of it by taking a swing at the quarterback because, you know, pieces of their core were starting to age out. So they took their swing, and I think now you're probably looking at a retooling there, and does Mike Tomlin want to go through that? Like, does he want to dig in on what could be a 3 or 4 year rebuild without light at the end of the tunnel at quarterback? They're not going to be drafting high enough to get anybody's sure thing at that position. And you don't know what the answer is going to be out there in the off season, you know. And this is something they've really chased. You know, going back 4 years to when Ben Roethlisberger retired. Of course, first they draft Kenny Pickett. That was in 22, right after Ben hung him up. That didn't work out. They tried the Fields-Wilson thing last year. That didn't work out. So I think you made progress with Aaron, but you know, I think his age showed too. So you know, now you're going to go through a hard reset. And I think a big piece of it for Mike has to be, you know, I've been doing this for 19 years in one place. Am I going to want to take a break at some point? When's the natural time to take that break? And this feels like a pretty organic, natural time to do it.
So he's obviously going to get the break from the Steelers, but do you feel like he's going to get the break from the NFL, or does it actually feel like maybe that's a little bit of a misdirection for the time being and he's going to end up with another team?
I mean, I think he probably takes a year off. Like now, could someone talk him into it? I don't know. You know, I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. But it feels at least to me like this is a good spot for him to take a year off. Maybe he does TV. I actually talked to somebody who knows him really well. That doesn't sound like him. And he's, you know, he really is. You know, a football coach in the purest sense. And, you know, if he did take the year off, he might, you know, spend the year traveling around to different teams and trying to learn and prepare himself for the next one, you know. That said, I think you can also look at his predecessor, and that can be a lesson too, right? Like, Bill Cowher coached in that pressure cooker for 15 years. And I was covering the league when he walked away after the 06 season. And I think everybody thought at that time, like, okay, like, Bill's going to be back in a year or two. There were tons of rumors about the Giants and the Dolphins back then. And, you know, and he never came back, you know. So I think for every one of these guys, too, guys, like, this is an important piece of it. Like, these guys don't know how they're going to react to not coaching, you know. I mean, for Mike Tomlin, I mean, the last time he didn't have a team to go to work for, you know, was when he was in college, right? Like, when he was actually playing, you know. So, that's the 90s. So I don't know that even he could tell you exactly how much he's going to like or dislike the year away. You know, I think that sort of remains to be seen. And that's a natural, I think, very human thing, you know, that you'd be, that you really wouldn't know what to expect. This is, you know, obviously the unknown for him.
Albert, I know we can ask you a lot about Tomlin and in Harbaugh, and we got the Brown search to get to as well, but I guess I actually want to touch in on the Harbaugh stuff and just where are we with the Harbaugh process, you know, a week since he's been fired in Baltimore?
Yeah, so, like, he's taking a look at all the jobs. He's talked in some capacity to every one of the teams that has an opening. You know, I think, like, the big thing for him is going to be finding a fit. He studied tape on the quarterback situations in every one of these places. You know, I was told at the beginning, like, the four teams that have the best shot at him, and this, you know, this could have changed over the last couple of days, but the four teams that had the best shot at him were the Giants, the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Falcons. And we'll see where it goes. You know, I don't know that he would want to go to the Raiders, and that's nothing against anybody there. He has personal relationships with some people in that building, but I don't know that he would want to coach in the same division as his brother. Like, that might be a non-starter for him. But I think he's going to give everybody their fair shot at it, and we'll see where it goes.
Can you elaborate on what all this means? I saw in your mailbag earlier in the week about the effects it could have for Jim Schwartz, and in particular Tommy Rees as well. Can you elaborate on that?
What do you mean, like, the effects that one will have on Jim Schwartz or Tommy Rees?
Well, I mean, Harbaugh or non-Harbaugh, how the Browns are viewing Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees.
I mean, look, do I think they're going to land Harbaugh? No. Do I think Harbaugh will listen to him? Yes. I do I think he'll come in for an interview? Like, I mean, at this point, they probably not, but I wouldn't rule it out. I think those things are sort of moving targets, right? Like, when you keep coaches on the way that they're keeping coaches on there, because you like them, and I do think, like, Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry genuinely like Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees, and that's why, you know, they're keeping them there, which isn't that unusual. I think it sort of depends on who you hire, right? Like, do you hire somebody who absolutely positively has their own coordinators and has been doing it, has been a head coach before, hasn't really defined vision for how they want to do it? Are you hiring somebody who's a little bit iffier on exactly which coordinator they're going to be able to get, where you can help them with the assistance? Or are you hiring somebody who has options, right? Like, if somebody has options, well, then it sort of flips. It becomes, you know, we assume that Harbaugh is going to have multiple offers at the end of this, you know, like, if they have options, that changes the leverage, you know, like, where it's like, okay, like, well, you know, this team's going to let me hire my own coordinators. This team's going to clear the decks for me with a new GM. Like, I, you know, obviously all those things can come into play. And, you know, certainly with a guy who's going to be the most sought after guy in the market, in Harbaugh, he's going to have the power, I think, to tell a team, hey, I want my own GM. Hey, I want my own offensive coordinator, my own defensive coordinator. That's not to say he's, like, 100% out, because I do think, like, there are certain sitting general managers that he'd be fine working with. But he does have the power to make that change if he wants to.
Albert, do you know if Andrew Berry is one of those sitting GMs?
I don't know specifically. I think with Harbaugh, just know what I know about John. I think with the coaching staff, he'd probably feel a little stronger about having his own people. On the GM side, I think, like, he would have to be convinced. And I have this part, like, I think this part, like, I can probably define this pretty vividly for you. I think it's going to be about what Jim Harbaugh's vision is for the team and whether or not the people who are around him can help him carry out that vision. And the coaches will be the guys who are there day to day that will be helping him carry out that vision, right? Like, so it's really important that you have those guys, the guys you want in those roles. GM, there's a little more flexibility, but he's still going to have to believe that you're going to not only be able to carry out his vision, like, through evaluating players the right way, but also be aligned enough with him that you're going to believe in that vision, right? Like, so if things are rocky at any point, like, you're not going to veer off and do your own thing or fight him on it. You know what I mean? Like, and not to say there can't be healthy argument, but I think, you know, it's going to be really important to him that somebody shares the vision that he has.
Albert, Titans are interviewing like 15, 16 different people. By the time the Browns are done, they might be in that same number as well. They're definitely going to be over 10. Like, what does it tell you, if anything? Maybe just nothing, but the idea that it seems like all these different... Seems like, first off, everyone's interviewing the same people, but it seems like everyone is interviewing a lot of people throughout the head coach searches.
Well, I think it's three things. It's number one, it's the NFL's effort to slow down the process so everybody would involve more people, right? And so how do you do that? You do that by making sure that no one can satisfy the Rooney Rule without really twisting yourself into a pretzel like the Patriots did last year. Until after the divisional round. So you sort of have this two-week window, right? Like, where, like, I mean, it's really difficult to hire anybody. So how do you fill that two-week window? You're probably going to just talk to a lot of people, right? Then there's the technology. And the technology, I think, the fact that you can't do most of these in person, now you have the technology to reach out to people, a lot easier to go sit in front of a computer than it is to get on a plane and crisscross the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the technology enables this in a way that, you know, wasn't available 5 or 10 years ago before COVID. We didn't really have all these different avenues to do this stuff the way we can now. And then the third thing is I just think there aren't any obvious candidates this year, right? Like, so it's sort of, and that's changed. You know, I think Stefanski becomes an obvious candidate, maybe not a level of a Vrabel, but close to it. And then Harbaugh is, you know, obviously a Super Bowl winning coach, so he's a very obvious candidate. But you can say he's going to get one. But when we kick this whole thing off, you know, a little over a week ago, before Kevin got fired, there really was no, yes, that guy's going to get a job. So I think that's pushed people to try to be more creative and be more open about who they're going to hire.
Albert, 8 days in the Browns' search for a head coach. Is there an early leader or leaders in the clubhouse?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, like, just like looking at the names they've interviewed, Dan Pitcher, you know, Aiden Durday. Like, I think you look at like their group and what they're trying to do. I mean, clearly they're trying to think creatively here. And try to make sure that they're looking under rocks that other people aren't looking under. You know, in a year where Jesse Minter has 8 requests, right? Like, every team requested. Jeff Hafley, I think, has 6. Like, there are just a lot. You know, there's a lot out there as far as, you know, like, this coach has 5, this coach has 6, this coach has 7. So you got all that. And, like, so there's going to be a lot of repetitive interviews and everything else. Like, I think the Browns have sort of taken it upon themselves to try to be creative with this. You know, you can't be as public about it, but have they been looking at college coaches? That's also something, you know, like, that for the sake of the college coaches can't be out there, but it's another rock for you to look under. So I don't think that they're at the point where they have any sort of favorite or anything like that. But, you know, I do think they're trying really, really hard to keep an open mind here, which, you know, I think their interview list shows you that they are doing that.
What do you think would be more appetizing to someone like Stefanski? Do you feel like it'd be like the Pittsburgh job where you could have that for 15 or 20 years because they just don't fire people? Or is it the Baltimore job where you have Lamar Jackson?
Well, Baltimore's been similarly stable. Maybe not as stable, like, not ridiculous. Like, I mean, they've had 2 coaches since 1999, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
and Brian Billick and John Harbaugh. Both those guys won Super Bowls. And the Steelers is another level because they haven't fired anyone since 1969, right? Like, so that's just, there's not another franchise in sports like that, is there? I can't imagine. I don't think there is. So both those, like, I think give you a really good level of stability. You know, the interesting thing about these, right, about Pittsburgh, about Baltimore, is that I think you look at those jobs, and as much as anything, you have to kind of morph to what they are as much as they're going to accommodate you to build your program, right? So when you go to those places, you have to sort of fit them every bit as much as, like, they're looking to find a way to set it up for you. So that's what's interesting about those two is, like, you know, you have to be comfortable with that. You have to be comfortable with what a Raven has always been. You got to be comfortable with what a Steeler has always been. And you got to be willing to build that way, I think. You know, it's just part of the deal in those places. You know, versus, like, you go to a Tennessee or even the Giants. The Giants have a little bit of that, but not as much because they've lost a lot lately. You have a little bit more of an opportunity to build it your own way. And, yeah, I think that would appeal to Kevin, too.
Albert, Mike McDaniel, former Dolphins coach, interviewing for the Browns head coaching job on Monday. Do you think 2026, after McDaniel's been fired for about a week now, do you think McDaniel's more likely to be an offensive coordinator somewhere in 2026 or a head coach in the NFL?
Probably a coordinator. It's hard to get one your first year out, right? Like, so I think Mike's a really good coach. You know, I just think, like, after the way that all went down in Miami, my guess is, like, it'll be at least a year. But I could be wrong. You know, all it takes is one, and Mike's capable of getting in the room and charming people, and, you know, I'd be confident that he have a really good plan. you know, I think he'll, you know, show some humility about what happened in Miami and fall on the sword and take some blame, which is always important, I think, for these second chance guys. You know, so we'll see what happens. But I think it'll probably be another year or two before he gets one.
I think on Friday I asked you to tell me everything you know about Dan Pitcher, and you did a great job with that. It seems like this week and the past couple of days, everyone wants to talk about Grant Yudynski. Can you tell me everything you know about Grant Yudynski? Yeah.
So, like, Kevin O'Connell thought the world of him, and they promoted him twice there when they didn't have to try to keep him from going and taking an offensive coordinator job somewhere else. He rose up the ranks really fast. That said, I don't know how much responsibility he has over the offense right now in Jacksonville. So, and, you know, because Liam Cohen's very hands-on, and, you know, he has – you know, he rolls his sleeves up and he gets into every bit of it, right? So it'd be a projection for sure. He's only 30, and you'd be projecting him not only into the head coach role, but if you're hiring him, you might want him as the play caller too. And, you know, I think that's a big jump. And I don't know that he's quite there yet. After 1 year, just holding a coordinator title and not calling plays. Now, you know, could it happen? Sure. But I look at some of the other guys that have had a lot of success doing this, right? Like McDaniel didn't have coordinator experience, but he was involved like in every single facet of Kyle Shanahan's office. Like Kyle brought him everywhere with him and was, I mean, like, so by the time he got to Miami, he hadn't held the play sheet and called it, but man, he had done everything else and everything else for a long time. Kyle Shanahan was a play caller for the Redskins, the Browns, and the Falcons before he became the Niners head coach. Sean McVay was a play caller for the Redskins before he became the Rams head coach. So, look, I think you look at a lot of these cases with the younger guys who've really made it, and, man, a lot of them have been play callers. Liam Cohen, you know, was a play caller at Kentucky twice and then a play caller with Tampa. You know, so I think Grant's a bright young coach who's got a very, very bright future. I wonder if this would be pushing him up the ladder a little too fast.
All right, Albert, because it is a game of musical chairs, I'm going to give you a for instance. If John Harbaugh gets the Giants job, where do you ultimately think Kevin Stefanski lands?
So John Harbaugh takes the Giants job. I'm with great trepidation saying Tennessee, because I do think it's like a little. I think it's pretty wide open, but I do think that there's a bit of a fit there now. Like I think the energy part of it, like they feel like they need to energize the fan base and get the fan like and really. But I think Kevin would bring him a lot of other things. Like he'd stabilize it. He'd be able to coach the young quarterback, and I sort of like the fit between him and Mike Borgonzi. I think Robert Saleh is another one who's got a really good shot at that job. So I wouldn't say I'm 100% Kevin's gonna get one of these. But I think just looking at the landscape, Tennessee makes a lot of sense to me, but Atlanta does too, you know? There's just so much uncertainty it feels like there's more being thrown on top of this every day now, you know? So I think it could be a different story in 2 days, but I would say Tennessee right now.
Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Hectic times, but this is where we get paid, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Albert Breer, MMQB, on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. He gave us stuff on Harbaugh, Stefanski's future, and where the Browns are in their coaching situation. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You can go to Rivian Mental Health.
If John never becomes a serious candidate here because he just doesn't want to indulge the interest, I'm just not as down on it now as if maybe I would have heard this 7 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, if Harbaugh just has no interest, what are we supposed to do? You can't. I mean, that's going back to like John Fanta's sixth grade girlfriend that turned him down. If the girl's not interested, she's not interested. There's nothing else you can do there.
Well, but I just think there are, like, I think John would be a really good hire. I do. I also think he's 63. I also think there are questions about the style of football that he likes to play. And if he also, if he specifically looked at this and goes, I like Tommy Rees and I like Jim Schwartz, but I want my own guys, I almost think that's more of a deal breaker for me than the Andrew Berry thing. Like I think I've pivoted a little bit off of I would do anything for John Harbaugh. Yeah, I'd do a lot for John Harbaugh. I just don't know. Like I, this would be a good hire. But
what's funny about it is more and more people we talk to, the more and more it seems like we're coming to a similar conclusion. It's like, oh, there is a reason why he got fired.
Yeah.
Like ultimately, at the end of the day, and I don't think this is us just protecting our feelings, but maybe we really are. Maybe that's all this ends up being. But I really don't think it is. Like there is a reason why he got fired. And part of that reason is, first off, lack of success in the postseason, while also having Lamar Jackson, who is one of the best quarterbacks of the previous 7 years. If not the best, he is. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen, into Lamar. He's top three. He's in the Mount Rushmore. He's in the family photo, however you want to put it. And that's not really even debatable. Mm-hmm. And within that, you got two playoff wins in the previous half decade. Like, there's arguments to be made that John Harbaugh should have been much better and maybe isn't as up to date with some of his offenses, et cetera, as he needs to be.
I also think I am getting more and more comfortable. Like, I don't want to hire an offensive coach just because they're an offensive head coach. But am I getting more comfortable with, well, Schwartz remains in his role, and then whether it's McDaniel, I'm still not that high on Dan Pitcher, or Grant Yudinski has grown on me
also,
a little bit.
I wasn't sure if you were coming around to the young offensive mind with the potential extremely high upside.
I think I'm more in on Mike McDaniel.
I think people, okay, because I'm right there with you with McDaniel. I love McDaniel.
And by the way,
but I think most Browns fans are coming around to the idea of young offensive mind is where we're going.
I think if you want to throw in Mike McCarthy.
Where is he? He's on a milk carton. I can't find the guy.
He interviewed for the Giants job, but it seemed, I think
where
the Titans job.
Did he?
Maybe he's.
I haven't seen him pop up
maybe
anywhere.
Maybe he's analyticing again.
Is he eating cheese curds?
Maybe he's doing No.
Oh, he's grinding tape.
He's grinding tape.
He's busy. Too busy grinding tape.
Grinding PFF.
Yeah,
he's back to.
He's going to come up with some new formula that he's created and spend thousands of hours
back
in a place.
Back to faking his interest in analytics.
To then get the job and be like, that didn't happen.
But okay, in fairness, there are two names.
I saw Max Shrug really like in a great big way. You could tell he went to try to find where Mike McCarthy's been hiding, and like a bad game of Where's Waldo, he wasn't able to find him.
Yeah.
No, I tried to go ahead and look at a searching tracker or a coaching tracker, and it popped up with a paywall that I can't scroll down
That's thwarted many a good bits on air, those damn paywalls.
Oh, they always get you.
The only thing I would say is I do think they're going right into there's a bit of you're right where I expected you to be with the Yudinskis and the Dan Pitchers of the world. You could throw me a David Shaw. You could throw me a Thomas Bryan. Guys who are offensive coaches who have different kinds of experience, but I think, you know, would you then have to hire maybe your own version of Yudinski? Yes. But I've really come around to the idea of give me an offensive-minded head coach. I got to be honest with you. I don't understand. And Albert kind of leveled out. Like, it sounds like Albert's not sure if Mike McDaniel or Kevin Stefanski is going to get a head coaching job in this cycle, which I think is a really interesting pivot.
I know
what Mike McDaniel is, and I really think his offense would work here with the style of defense you're going to play as well.
It's two different things. I think for McDaniel, I think he just thinks he'll take the Lions job and he'll be better off for it, where that's not really something he's ever offered up for Stefanski. I'm talking about Albert, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was really interesting, I asked him, I said, between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, which one would Stefanski take between those two jobs? And he said, he's like, you have to fit what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go into Baltimore and you have to fit what Baltimore does. You have to go with Pittsburgh. You got to fit what Pittsburgh does. And in a weird way, it felt like he almost eliminated Stefanski because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Stefanski's got some great identity, though. Like, I don't know that Stefanski, I think if anything, Stefanski would be very well adapted to being able to go into a situation like that and be molded by what the Steelers are and what the Ravens are.
It almost feels like if you're Kevin, you're really hoping that John takes the Atlanta or the Tennessee job, so you get the Giants job. Because I do think if Kevin doesn't get the Giants job, it's not that he won't get a job, because I do, and I've come around to the, there's so many openings, and there's so few candidates that just scream, this is my job, that I do think Kevin should shake free a head coaching job this offseason. I do, and that's why I feel the same way about Mike McDaniel. Like, these guys are better than a lot of the names that I'm hearing when it comes to the other. Like, I'd rather these guys than Chris Shula. I don't give a rat's ass who his grandpa was. Had mad respect for Don Shula 30 years ago. Shula Steakhouse was fine. Okay, but other than that, I don't really care about Chris Shula.
Oddly enough, I've been.
Rate it. What was your Yelp review?
Well, actually, I've been to both. I've been to the one that was here, and I've actually been to the one in the Miami airport.
Wow.
Weird thing about the one in the Miami airport is it was all self-serve. No servers. So, like, you had to scan something at your table with your phone, and then you place the order and everything like that, and then a person will come and bring it out and everything. But no servers outside of that. One person was doing every table in the whole entire place.
Do not care for that. Hard pass.
Well, I was thinking, like, that one person's got to be making bank, because they're getting full tips as if you, like, did the whole everything while not actually doing the whole everything.
Maybe that was the manager that did that.
I don't know what that was. Taking very different. Very different setup.
216-474-0092. Have you softened your stance on John Harbaugh? Again, I think he'd be a good hire. I think he's gone from it would be a nice to have, but I don't think I'm moving heavy. Listen, if $30 million a year, control over the organization to most degrees, if that's not enough for you, Myles Garrett, if that's not enough for you, that's fine. There's only so much. Like, this isn't like if McVay came available, you should do everything you could on the planet.
I want to sidetrack it one more time.
Sure.
Best steakhouse you've ever ate at that had a player's name or coach attached to it in the football space?
Can't think of one.
I loved Cozars when it was at the MGM.
That's a good answer.
I love Cozars.
You know, Bernie loves that.
I loved it.
Bernie loves to hear
that.
Thought
it was great. People are like, oh, it's a little best. It's prime now. And I'm like, nope. Still, it was awesome.
Yeah, I've never been. Would love to be.
Oh, I feel like you would have loved Cozars. Mm. I feel like that would have been something you for sure would have been at. The whole novelty of it all. Like Ditka's was also really good too, though. There was a real avenue of, like, if you're a coach or a great former quarterback, you just got like a steakhouse. And then I heard Lovie Smith's place, by the way, was atrocious. I heard that wasn't very good. Yeah. But there was a time. They were all great. All great.
Okay, give me a lot to think about here. Yeah. Have you softened on Harbaugh? Albert's latest on Stefanski's future, on the Browns coaching search, and more in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.